You're listening to a KIDE Community Affairs program talking about the Hoopa Valley Tribe budget for FY22. Well, welcome to a Community Affairs program. I have four Hoopa Valley Tribal members in the Studio 91, Louis Risling, Steve Baldy, Marceline Norton, and Glenna Moore. And they are here to make a presentation about an topic that is happening on the council agenda. With that, I'd like to welcome Lois to do the introductions. And
thank you, Joe. We're all here to Hoopa Tribal citizen members here today because we have concerns. We're very interested in informing the Hoopa Tribal citizens members about the Hoopa Tribe's budget and expenditures that they're proposing to make, because they have an immediate impact on the health of the tribe. Today, we are addressing proposals to fund HFI, the Hoopa Forest Industries, and the sawmill. We've been involved and learning about these by attending budget meetings and hearings and going to council meetings. We've done this either through direct citizen participation or over their Zoom process. There are many other issues that revolve around the budget as well as around the funding that's available for the tribe, such as elders' pay, per capita, budget deficits that come from self-insurance and indirect costs and other over-expenditures, the need to restructure tribal government, the constitution and ordinances that need to be revised because they're not working, or the council deliberately ignores them and doesn't implement them. We're also, a discussion needs to happen and information on council taxes, and there are many other critical issues. But today we're going to focus on HFI and the mill and those proposed expenditures. Glenna?
Thank you, Lois. Good afternoon. So, as Hoopa Tribal citizens, we are concerned about the amount of money that the Tribal Council plans on giving HFI. On the February 17th Council agenda, and this was scheduled for executive session, there were six proposed motions to purchase logging and sawmill equipment and approve funds for HFI, totaling $1,453,150.01. And two of these six items were actually approved at the February 17th Council meeting. At this time, I'd like to list those proposed motions that were on the 17th Council agenda for executive session. So the first item is a proposed motion to approve a 2014 John Deere 2954D swing machine with a 2014 Waratah 624C D-limmer head or something similar for $194,500. And the funds were to be determined by Tribal Council. This item was tabled. So some of our concerns is that this machine is an 8-year-old used piece of equipment. We don't know how many hours are on the machine, and so we should always be wary of the condition and use of any used equipment. The next item was a motion to approve transfer of funds to HFI in the amount of $429,012.01 utilizing ARPA funds. And this item was also tabled. The next item was a motion to approve purchase of two T-800 Kenworth chassis logging trucks from Ireland Trucking for a total price of $279,638. This was a sole source request, and funds were to be identified by Tribal Council. This purchase was approved. Council did not identify or disclose where the money was coming from. And there was some response from some of the tribal citizens who attended the meeting questioning the purchase and condition of these two trucks because they are used. An HFI staff that I believe were on the phone reported that both of these two trucks had over 400,000 miles on them. There were some people that in attendance that stated trucks are expensive to maintain and breakdowns are costly. Who's going to maintain them? So there were some serious concerns about the purchase of that item. And the next item was a motion to approve purchase of a 2022 Dodge Ram 2500 pickup, not to exceed $70,000. Line item to be determined by Tribal Council, and this request was also tabled. The next item was a motion to approve a purchase of a Baker CX multi-head resaw machine at a total price of $60,000. The request was for sole source, and funds were to be determined by the Tribal Council. This purchase was also approved. And the last item was a motion to approve purchase of a 2018 Tiger Cat LX830D Feller Buncher, or similar machine from Crowley Equipment, for a total price of $420,000. This was a sole source request, and funds were to be determined by Tribal Council. This purchase was also tabled. And again, this is used equipment. So here's some of our concerns. About 2 years ago, it was reported at a council meeting that HFI was going to lease and not purchase equipment. And also, with the LPA routing sheet for the fiscal year 2022 budget, a document from the CFO was attached that states that the enterprise budgets were operational requests and that the enterprises, which includes HFI, has to make the revenue to support their overall expenses. That means they have to make money and pay their own way. And in terms of the sawmill, at the February 17th meeting, tribal citizens asked, where is the feasibility study and the market analysis and the business plan for the sawmill? And how are we going to certify the lumber for retail sale since we heard that our lumber was going to be used to build houses? Again, we are concerned about the amount of money, $1.4 million, that the Tribal Council wants to give to HFI. And unfortunately, HFI is an entity that has not had a good business track record. In no way do any of us want to see employees lose their jobs. We understand that our forests need to maintain and believe there are other opportunities in forest management around climate adaption and mitigation that can keep people working. It is not too much to ask how our money is being spent and that money should be spent based on sound business decisions. Tribal citizens, you have the right to question how your money is being spent. Please, people, start asking questions. Now I'll give it over to Marceline.
Hello, tribal members. I'm going to talk about the profit and loss statements for HFI, but I also wanted to mention that several of our other entities have had losses over the years. The Mini Mart is the only one that generally makes a profit and sometimes a substantial profit. But I'm focusing on HFI because over the years, HFI has the hugest losses. The 2019 HFI profit and loss statement identified a continual loss of revenue from 2012 through 2018. From tribal budget documents, I included HFI deficits from 2019 through 2021. All these yearly deficits range from $200,000 to over $400,000 annually. That now totals $3 million of losses. This means that the Tribal Council has bailed out HFI in the amount of $3 million using tribal funds from 2012. This money is taken from each tribal member. This has an impact on per capitas, on elders' pay, on services for tribal members. How long can we continue these huge deficits that come out of the general fund? These huge losses have an impact on future per capitas, elders' pay, and services, as I mentioned. The financial assessment report of 2020 identified $16,154,130 deficit of tribal funds. The report states that if these trends continue, the tribe will become insolvent. The tribe will no longer be able to pay its bills and continue to function. I now understand that we have a $20 million deficit. This is alarming and must be addressed immediately. Several members have requested feasibility study, business plan, and marketing plan for HFI, but evidently the tribe does not have such plans, which should be essential to operating a business such as HFI. These types of plans are common business practices. If the tribe had such plans and analyzed their profit and loss yearly, then adjustments could be made to correct losses and ensure profits. We cannot continue to have huge losses of revenue that are taken from tribal funds. As tribal members, we need to ask the council, representatives, and chairman, how are they correcting yearly HFI deficits and other enterprise losses? And how are they addressing the huge tribal deficit? I'm very concerned and encourage tribal members to seek this information and to participate. We need to have input from tribal members on these funds and on the decisions that our council is making. Steve?
Hello, my name is Steve Baldy. I would like to add a little bit to the discussion about the tribe's deficit and also the purchase of the equipment. We have in the Constitution, and a Constitution is supposed to be the governing body of the law of the land, and in the Constitution, under Article 9, Part Q, and I'll read it verbatim, the tribe, under powers and duties of tribal council, the tribe is allowed to negotiate and conclude contracts for economic development purposes, except where tribal assets are involved. Tribal assets is dollars. Outside of the approved annual budget in excess of $100,000 during any budget year. Contracts in excess of such amount shall be submitted to the tribal membership for approval by referendum vote. If we proceed with this purchase, if we allow the council to proceed with this purchase, we are violating this section of our own constitution. We have a document called Tribal Budget Ordinance. And in the budget ordinance under Section 3, and I'm going to paraphrase it, in the fiscal year, budget authorizes an activity but fails to identify its funding source, the council's actions are deemed to be null and void, and the tribal chairman and chief fiscal officer are expressly prohibited from preparing any budgets for such amounts. The purchase of this equipment wasn't included in the approved tribal budget for FY22. Wasn't listed. That means that if we allow the purchase of this equipment, the way the council is trying to proceed, not only is it violating the Constitution, it is also violating the budget ordinance. Today you've heard a little bit of discussion about HFI. But there is a document that I encourage all tribal members to go to their councilman and request a copy of. And the title of the document is called Hoopa Valley Tribe Financial Assessment, dated September 30th, 2020, Final Report. In this document, it says, the document was prepared primarily on audit reports by Melissa B. Peterson, the firm that's been auditing the tribe for over a number of years. This report is a collaborative approach between stakeholders and should represent a highly tailored roadmap that identifies area for improvement and action recommendations that have buy-in and reflect appropriate solutions for the unique organization and tribal culture. The people that were contacted in doing this report were the tribal fiscal employees, tribal council members, program managers, and enterprise managers. There was no attempt, I believe, to receive tribal member input about what this report was covering. It says later that the scope of this engagement, the report, is to prepare a financial overview of the tribe, a financial assessment with recommendations, and a public financial update report, and those deliverables are presented in this document. Again, that wasn't done with the membership. This report, Marceline sort of mentioned part of it, it says in this report that the tribe, as of fiscal year ending 2018, was on its way to insolvency. That means that it does not have the money to pay its expenses. It says that the fund balance since 2015 was a negative $4 million at the year of 2018. So if you take $4 million at 2018, and as a tribe, as a tribal government, as a tribal council, there's been no directive to decrease the deficit that generated in 2018, we have done nothing but add to the deficit. We really don't know what the final figure is because there's not too much transparency in talking about the deficit. People have to make their best guess. We are estimating, people have told us, it's not our figures. This report says $4 million at 2018. As of 2022, we estimate that we're talking about $20 million. If we were on our way to insolvency with a $4 million deficit in 2018, where are we at with a deficit of $20 million? We should be pretty close to broke. And I think, in fact, in a lot of areas of our budget, we are. The report goes on to say, if this trend continues as of 2018, the value of the government will continue to shrink and will eventually cause insolvency and or extreme cutbacks. This is a slowly moving problem in financial collapse. Financial collapse is the worst case scenario, but it is vital to recognize that the trend must be reversed. Again, it talks about the deficit, and it starts to talk about that this document, and I think that becomes an issue that you as members, if you go to your tribal council representatives, it says in this document that they're trying to declare it to be confidential because they think that if people hear about that we are in dire financial straits, that somehow that makes it even worse for us. I don't think that if we're on the verge of financial collapse, that is pretty much as bad as it gets as opposed to other people knowing our status. It does say that this report should be summarized and it should be made available to the public, to us as tribal members, and that was never done. I am encouraging you again, as tribal members, you have to get involved and ask questions about the financial status of the tribe. The tribe, as far as we are aware, we have done nothing different from 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. We have adopted pretty much the same kind of budget with nothing that addresses how we're going to reduce the deficit. If, in fact, the deficit is around $20 million, all of us here realize that it's going to take a number of years to begin to deal with that and to resolve it. But we have not taken any steps to even begin that process. I think one of the first things that needs to happen is that the council needs to almost declare an emergency because we are in that kind of financial straits, that there needs to be meetings with the membership and not just one quarterly meeting. I'm talking about maybe biweekly meetings or monthly meetings that only deals with how are we going to deal with the deficit? What is it in the budget that we have to either cut? And we're talking about cuts now in order to deal with that. You know, I have a personal preference in terms of recommending that maybe we should cut the council pay. We were always told that you have to have pay for the council, because nobody that has any knowledge will run unless you pay them. well, we've been paying them for a long time, and as a result of our paid counsel, we are now in this $20 million deficit. I think we need to cut it. I think we need to cut them. And that's a good faith step toward beginning to balance this budget. It talks about the recommendations in this report. It says, number one, throughout the document, balance the budget. Balance the budget. It says you cannot sustain operations based on your deficit throughout this whole report. And this is not a report that any of us in this room had anything to do with. This is outside financial analysts, third-party people, looking at the overall financial status of the tribe. They talk about where the deficits come from. Part of the deficit comes from, not just HFY, it comes from tribal businesses that are in losing positions that our tribe will bail out. I think that it's time that, as a tribe, we begin to have meetings about our businesses. Do we want to continue the way that they're operating? Do they need to be reorganized? Are there businesses that, like HFI, if it's not a profit-making entity, is it a social service entity, meaning that we're just going to continue to pay its losses because of employment? Well, as tribal members, you need to have input in that decision to do that, if in fact we do that. We also need to have tribal members' input in if they want to shut it down. You know, we also have to have tribal member input on if we do reorganize, what else can HFI be doing, for example, in our forest management practices other than the logging of timber? Are there other things that the workforce can be retrained to do, or maybe they're already trained to do, that we are not doing? For example, we're way behind, I understand, in terms of reforestation. We need to be doing that. We're way behind in terms of slash burning. We're way behind in terms of salvage logging, of stuff that's already blown down that is a fire hazard. I understand there's money coming down from the government for fire management practices. Can the tribe qualify for funds to do the logging against that? That's a separate thing than logging our timber for profit. There's another category in our budget that is really one of the major concerns is indirect costs. The tribe has an indirect cost pool, and you know, I understand that some of this might be a little bit complicated for people that aren't familiar with indirect costs. But our indirect cost pool shouldn't be losing money. But our indirect cost pool has lost in 1 year $2 million+. And it shouldn't do that. There's a difference between losing your indirect cost money, overexpending, and as opposed to over and under recovery. And that's a formula process. Theoretically, you take that loss you have and put it into the following year to increase your indirect rate the following year. But that doesn't really pay for that year that you lost the money. When we do that, our records that we have say that we have indirect cost losses over under recovery every year. We have to pay for that. So we never really collect the money to make it even. It's always in a loss. I think that could be addressed, and this report makes recommendations about addressing that. The final thing that I would like to say is that's only part of this report. There is 46 other pages that I haven't talked about that talks about how we would improve the operations of the tribe. But primary purpose today is to say we are in financial dire straits. We have staff running around telling our tribal council that, no, we have all kinds of money. We have third-party people saying, no, that's not true. We have a big deficit we have to worry about. I think that it's time that we as tribal members hold our council responsible and almost demand that we begin to have meetings that talk about addressing our financial condition.
Glenna Moore.
I wanted just to add to the discussion what Steve was talking about the report. So the former tribal chair, Amin, sent out a letter dated March 10th, 2021, And in that letter, it states, in fiscal year 20, Tribal Council and I hired an outside consultant to complete a financial assessment of the tribe. Audited data from 2013 to 2019 was used in the completion of the assessment. Fiscal year 20 audit is currently underway, and upon completion, the data will be added to the assessment. And as Steve said, there was never a summary sent out to the membership. And I'm not going to read the whole letter, but it goes on to say that to protect the tribe's data, we will not release the full report, but rather an overview of the data. And then on later, it says, I understand many of you will have questions after reviewing the information. When it is safe to do so, the Tribal Council and I would like to review the information in greater depth with the membership, but no, we've been holding weekly meetings to address the financial situation and strategize on ways to keep our tribe solvent. We've also met with department managers and enterprises to discuss the finances, and we are implementing an earlier review of the fiscal year 2022 budget. So, and it says, based on the data, we will need to cut our expenses and build our reserves in order to fix our deficits. Unfortunately, government has allowed overspending to continue since 2015, and now we are in emergent need to address the tribe's financial state. It's taken many years to get to this point and will take time to reverse it. So this was sent out by the former chairman. The discussion was happening at the council, which we were not really privy to. So I don't know if many of you remember this letter, but it also had a second page with a graph that really depicted the dire strait of this deficit.
Thank you. What we're trying to do is give information to the tribal citizens and membership so that they can make informed decisions. But what focus for this meeting is because we believe that the other motions are going to be put on the council meeting that's happening a week from today. So you would need to get to listen to that and have an opinion about that. The one thing to remember is all of these expenditures were done at first in executive session. And a lot of us are questioning, why was this in executive session when it's our funds, the tribe's funds, the people's funds, expend? It should have been done in regular session. These items were brought out of executive session and put in regular session. But none of the items except one identified the source of the money. And as Steve pointed out, that the budget ordinance says if the source of the money for a expenditure is not identified and the council votes to approve it, it is null and void. So they shouldn't be buying the two items that they approved. One of those items, the logging trucks, are over the $100,000 threshold amount required in the Constitution. So our council is not following the budget ordinance, our own constitution. They're not even following Robert's rules, which they're required to do in the LPA process. It's stated there that when you don't have a particular rule for it, it reverts to Robert's rules. So we encourage you to look at this, to look at HFI, remembering as we started out the program saying there are many other issues. And they're fundamental issues that our council is not implementing. And we, as tribal members, are suffering from this. And it's going to get worse if we become a tribe that ends up being bankrupt. And for what? So we encourage you to get the documentation if you can. Listen to the tribal council meetings. Talk to other tribal members. And let our representatives know that we want them to follow the laws and the policies and the procedures of the tribe so that we can become a tribe that once again is solvent, functioning, and then we can move back to the position we were or in the future to be a leader once again, thank you for listening to us and your time and your future effort into resolving this issue.
This community affairs program is a production of KIDE, Hoopa Tribal Radio. The guests were Lois Risling, Steve Baldy, Marceline Norton, and Glenna Moore. Produced and engineered by Joseph Orozco. Comments made were that of the speaker and not necessarily that of this radio station or the Hoopa Valley Tribal Council. Please take care. You're all important. Teskia.